Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If I'm sounding a little froggy, I am. Please excuse mes amis, and happy Friday to each and every one of you. Again, my name is Maggie Dawn. I got a great co-host with me for this first hour. His name is Jim Santel. He is a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin and host of the fine program Amicus, a legal brief that you can find across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network from 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Welcome back, Jim.
Maggie, delighted to be with you once again. You don't sound one bit froggy to me.
Okay, well, we'll keep rolling with that. I have a bit of breaking news for you, Jim, and all of our fine listeners. The Supreme Court, within the last couple of hours, declining to permit the Trump administration to continue to deport people under the Alien Enemies Act. This was an emergency appeal on the Supreme Court's shadow docket. This from CNN Politics. The Supreme Court on Friday blocked President Donald Trump from moving forward with deportations under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act for a specific group of immigrants in northern Texas, siding with the Venezuelans who feared they were poised for imminent removal under the sweeping wartime authority. The decision is a significant loss for Trump, who wants to use the law to speed deportations and avoid the kind of review normally required before removing people from the country. Yeah, that's called due process. CNN continues, but the decision is also temporary. And the underlying legal fight over the president's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act continues simultaneously in multiple federal courts across the country. You won't be surprised to hear, Jim, that Thomas and Alito publicly noted their dissent in the unsigned order. This decision was very strongly worded, I guess, would be a way to characterize this. The court noted that the Trump administration has represented that it is, quote, unable to provide for the return of an individual deported in error to a prison in El Salvador, referring to the case of Albrego Kilmar Garcia. The court continued then and said the detainees' interest, therefore, in this case are accordingly particularly waiting. Yeah, I would say
yes,
so.
Yes, yes.
And here was the other, some of the other notable language that I saw. The court called the Trump administration's handling of the removals as not passing muster. Mm. It did not, quote, pass muster. And the justices noted that there was only 24 hours notice provided to these particular potential deportees, which was, quote, devoid of information about how to exercise the due process rights to contest that removal. The court went on and said this: today's ruling effectively extends the temporary freeze. There's also additional language in there. It's pretty gosh darn clear for a Supreme Court emergency docket petition. Jim, your immediate reactions to this breaking news.
Absolutely. And again, I think we've got the Supreme Court again gradually moving to the right position here. We saw them, a couple of weeks ago saying we're not going to address the underlying issue about whether the Alien Enemies Act applies, but you have to establish due process for anybody. And that was a big step, right? Even though they didn't address the underlying predicate issue. And so now we're more than inching, but we're getting to that right spot where we're not only ensuring that due process is accomplished here, but in the meantime, can't do anything without that. It is also significant because, as you just noted, Maggie, we've got, again, near unanimity, not quite unanimity. It comes in the wake of was Judge Stephanie Haynes of just last week, Western Pennsylvania. She's a district court judge. She's the first one who goes in the opposite direction, and she says that the Alien Enemies Act can be used. The president can use it. She's out there, and she's an outlier. She's not the one who's in the mainstream here. And so it's also beginning to capsulize, if you will, this overall sort of jurisprudence in this area. Supreme Court sounds to me as if it's moving a whole lot more directly to saying, Donald, you need to do these fundamental things, and we're going to give you some leeway, but we're not going to let you just run roughshod over rights. And, oh, by the way, the fact that they once again identify the Maryland man who has been sitting in El Salvador mistakenly for all these weeks and months, That is an outrage, of course, for all of us in America. That should be a matter of shame for the Department of Justice, Homeland Security. The fact that they identify that also speaks volumes to me.
A bunch of things there, Jim. I just wanted to point out for everyone, to date, again, every single judge that has considered whether or not the Trump administration can invoke the Alien Enemies Act has ruled that it cannot. The Alien Enemies Act applies when there is an invasion or you're at war. They found that neither applies. The judge in the one case where the judge concluded that the Trump administration may invoke the Alien Enemies Act to deport these particular Venezuelans predicated that ruling on her crediting the administration's assertion that the immigrants were being, the immigrants, A, were part of this Tren de Agua gang, and that the gang itself and the immigrants coming to the United States illegally were being controlled in part or whole by the Venezuelan government. That's how she got to the Alien Enemies Act invocation. What's interesting there is she does not interrogate that factual representation by the government. What we have seen in the in the reporting over the last 2 weeks, Jim, is that intelligence agencies have issued a report directly contradicting that, saying they have no evidence, no reason to believe that immigrants from Venezuela are either a priori or without other specific evidence presumed to have any affiliation with Tren de Agua, and or that that gang or these immigrants are being directed, controlled, or otherwise cooperating in cahoots, in collaboration, pick your synonym here, with the Venezuelan government. In other words, the judge carefully crafted that ruling, and the factual basis that that entire ruling hinges upon is actual nonsense.
Right.
So I'll put it this way. There is unanimity amongst all federal courts, including the one that seemed to rule in the opposite, that actually he can't do this at all because the factual predicate in that case has been undermined by Trump's own intelligence agencies.
And that's
which I think is an important point here.
Absolutely. And that it is huge, Maggie, as both of us, your listeners, know this as well. There has always been, until recently, and again, I think Judge Haynes' order reflects this, not a complete deference factually, but government comes forward. You were in government. I was in government. There was a kind of a presumption that if you stood forward and said, you know what, I'm going to make a proffer to you, Judge, that this is what the world is all about. These are the facts out there. There wasn't just a complete buy-in from the judges, but there was a presumption that we're representing accurately what's going on. And so she does, in fact, parse her language to say, okay, if you, in fact, are representing to me that this is the case, I'll rely on that. But she doesn't, as you just accurately and precisely said, she doesn't buy into the underlying factual presentation, except insofar as the attorneys are saying this to her. And now we've got the broader information, of course, that it's not true. It's not true. And that's what the other judges are also just tearing their hair out about, right? Whether it's Boasberg in Washington, D.C. or Zinnix in Maryland, they're saying, tell me the truth. Tell me what's going on here. And we've got a Department of Justice, assistant U.S. attorneys, people from Maine Justice appearing in front of them, not telling them the truth, not responding to them. And that is the breakdown of the system.
So, Jim, this gets me to this next juiciest question. Folks, if you're just joining us, that's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join Jim and I in this great discussion this fine Friday afternoon, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One of the core problems here, Jim, in my opinion, is that lawyers are repeatedly lying to the court.
Yes, yes. Right.
And I am really curious. I mean, during COVID, I forgot to send my CLE paperwork in and my license got administratively suspended for 2 weeks and I had to hire a lawyer. I mean, it was a huge kerfuffle. I probably spent northwards of like $8,000 because I was working for the county at that time. I wanted to be sure that the county executive understood that I was taking this seriously, that I realized I had made a mistake and not complete. I mean, bad stuff. But they yanked my license for 2 weeks because I didn't send in the right paperwork on time during a once-in-a-generation global pandemic.
Right. An administrative matter, right? Exactly.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. What in the hell? Like, where are these state bars?
Right.
Are people not filing ethics complaints? And if so, why not? Because these are... Especially in the case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia and the representations made about the when the airplanes were
right,
I mean, this
right.
is lawyers lying to federal court judges.
It is. It is. And again, that is not only we talk about being an officer of the court. That's number one, right? We take an oath to the state constitution, the federal constitution. We also stand up. We are also admitted to the bars. And that means that when a judge asks you a question, you, me, any lawyer, doesn't have to be in government, outside of government, the answer has got to be, Your Honor, this is what these are the facts, and this is how I know. If I don't know, the response is, I won't say
right.
so. I won't make things up. And then you quickly, as you and I have always done, said, Your Honor, I will get that information to you as quickly as I can.
Let me run out of court and go get it and file immediately.
Right.
And here's the thing, like, even if government agents or high-level people in the Trump administration are willing to lie about it, lawyers, as officers of the court, have certain diligence responsibilities before they can permit their client to say in a sworn document or in court after swearing an oath that these things are true. It's why, let's be clear here, a lot of criminal defense lawyers don't put their clients
yes.
on the stand because you cannot, as a lawyer, suborn perjury, whether in live testimony in court or in a sworn document. So all of this is strains the outer limits of what we should be able to expect, especially from lawyers working in government. There's an old Supreme Court case where I forget who's writing here. It may even be Learned Hand or someone of similar right. repute, where the justice says the government lawyer's job is not to win necessarily, but to seek justice in the courts.
Right, right.
And justice, of course, is predicated upon a commitment to both tell and seek the truth.
Exactly.
Folks, we got Jim Santel with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. It's a Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Got to share you a little bit of fact. House of Representatives says no to the big, beautiful bill.
Mm, mm.
We'll discuss that and the Supreme Court's incredible oral arguments yesterday that could upset constitutional rights in this country as we know them. This fine discussion continues on the other side. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.